The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch,
blah, 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 blah.
Paul Perillo.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Fred Kirsch.
Our show should make cots bigger.
Paul Perillo.
Fred, you don't even believe your own crap now. You don't.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Check it out.
Paul Perillo.
I resign.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
PFW in Progress at its worst.
Woo!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's me and Paul today until 2 o'clock, taking your emails and calls here in this off-season edition. I guess there was a little confusion on Tuesday. We didn't really announce that we weren't having a show, so I apologize right at the outset for anyone who tuned in at noon to listen to us. We did take the day off because of the 4th of July, but they had a half day here at the stadium, so we figured, you know, might as well take advantage of that. But we're back here today from 12 to 2. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. A lot of emails have come in. A lot of people, we had a lot of reaction to the European model for advancing American football. So we'll get into that. More debate, a good one, and Mark sent it from Mark from Cheddar sent one in, and you know, among the other things he said was, I have a new debate, and we'll talk about this later, as Fred and Eric seem convinced that 19-0 was so special because no one has ever done it. It got me thinking, would you rather what has happened with the Patriots since 2001 happen, or they won only won one Super Bowl in 07 and went 19-0. So that's a good question. It made me think. So if it stops and makes me think, then it's probably a good debate question. So we'll get into that later. But Paul's here. He's getting on his headphone. Also a little confusion today whether or not we were getting lunch from Omega or Grande. What ended up happening there, Kevin?
We ended up getting Omega. That was my fault, though. That was a typo on my part.
Did you see what he did to me?
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
I didn't mean that,
He's
Paul.
So busy.
It was my fault.
Yeah. He's so busy.
Why did we go with Omega?
Because I just
I didn't know, but he just wrote in, you know, what do you want from Omega? So I gave him an order from Omega, and he goes, you mean Grande, right?
Yeah, no, it was my fault.
I don't care where we go. As long as fat guy gets to eat, I don't care.
It's a little change of pace at the very least.
Well, then I had to change my order with it being Omega.
And I also said, if Fred wants something at Grande, I have no problem going to Grande.
Right. So.
But we never heard back.
Well, Fred, you're going to get your Coke, so.
A little confusion.
It's going to be exciting.
So, Paul, what's up? I haven't seen you all day. I've been in a meeting all morning.
I've been a little bit busy.
Yeah?
You know.
What you
been doing? Happens when you try to do an issue by yourself, Fred.
Oh. Wow. So, Eric's out all week, too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
He just gets in the way.
He isn't going anywhere, though, right? He just.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know if he went, I don't know, you know. Did he go to Istanbul for this?
No. I thought I might have saw him at the 4th of July celebration on the Esplanade waving a flag last night.
In the tunnel?
Right.
How bizarre was that? Did you see any of that?
Well, what happened? What we're talking about, obviously, if you're in America, you know that Boston has this big 4th of July celebration on what we call the Esplanade. It's like a strip of land next to the Charles River, and they have this big stage there where the Boston Pops performs, and it's a tradition, and you know, hundreds of thousands of people come down and watch and listen to this. And then they have this huge half-hour fireworks display. But last night, like about a half hour before you know, it was supposed to go live at 10 o'clock nationally on CBS, the weather service said, oh, you know, there's a real strong cell heading your way. And they had to evacuate everybody from the Esplanade. And they had two ways. If you were on the Cambridge side, they brought everybody over to the mall there, and if you were on the Boston side, they brought you into one of the Storrow Drive tunnels, and I just imagine like something out of like Escape from New York happening, where you know people, because I thought, you know, people line up at 6 a.m. to get their spot.
Yeah.
How do you come out of the tunnel
and get your spot?
And everyone honors that.
That's the first thing that my wife said. you know, she's like, what about the people that are there all day?
Yeah.
You know,
but I think,
you know, they're not going back to the same
spot. I think CBS
spot.
Did some manipulation. I think when they went after they went live at 10 o'clock, I don't think they were live. I think.
Oh,
they,
no, it said it. It said previously recorded.
Yeah,
at a couple of different spots.
But at some
point. I think they mashed a couple of things together.
I really.
But I don't think they tried to trick you.
Well, I don't think they tried.
Maybe nationally they did.
At some point, Michael Chiklis, who was hosting, said, oh, we're back here live. I don't think it was totally live.
He might have. When he got out of the bus, did you see the part where he got out of the
that
bus?
Wasn't
it
live.
Said previously recorded right at the top.
Right.
Right then.
Right.
So.
But it only said that once, but then it never said it again.
Well, maybe they didn't do it a lot to make sure that you didn't know it was live, you know, but they put it out. I don't think they tried
but
to
trick. But I think when they did the crowd shots, I think that was from the night before when they did the rehearsal. I really
listen, it could have been.
You know, there's no way that people got the same spots that they had, and if they didn't, there's no way there wouldn't be fights. Because literally, people line up at 6 in the morning and run to get these spots.
Just to let listeners know that aren't really familiar with the 4th of July fireworks are kind of like our New Year's Eve in Times Square.
Right.
I mean, that's how – I mean, it's a big deal here. I know it's probably not a huge deal everywhere around the country, but here it's almost as big as – like it's not as many people as Times Square, obviously, because New York is New York and Boston is you know a fraction of the size, but – it is a big deal here, and I can see what Fred's talking about. People going into that tunnel and then coming out and saying, well, wait a minute. I was right up the front in the middle,
right,
and now I'm behind 100,000 people.
And then the ironic thing is the weather cell that they had to evacuate for actually skirted by and didn't even affect them. But then the minute the fireworks started at 10:30, It started pouring.
I drove home, by the way, from New Hampshire in that cell that you keep referring it to.
Right.
It was one of the most unbelievable lightning storms I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Wow.
It was literally, there were times where you would drive and it was like all of a sudden it was daylight.
What the hell is this?
Why? What did you get?
I ordered a small cheese pizza and it's like, what is this?
I give you the wrong one. Hang on.
Did you get you got a pizza too? This has buffalo on it. I didn't want that. Sorry.
And Fred, is, as always, deals with adversity like a king. What the hell is this?
I didn't know he got a pizza, too. Yeah, that's better. All right, so Patriots-wise,
so,
Paul.
Can you go over the debate that you're talking about?
Okay,
I caught that as I was walking
out. I thought it was a good one. Mark from Cheddar sent it in. And, you know, we'll get it out there on the table right now, and then maybe we can talk about it later. But you know how how the debate goes now. And from that debate, Eric and I have made it clear that we think 19-0 perfect season would have been very special, you know, and that's why we would go that way. But Mark says, what if the choice was you have the success that you've had since 01, right? Or you forfeit all that success up to 07 for winning a 19-0 perfect season? Which would you rather have? All the success you've rather had up to that point or the perfect season in 07?
I'm sorry. I just pulled a Fred. I'll take all the success.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. Even though I do think that 19-0, I think that having that success, you know, made that 19-0 even that much more special. But I wouldn't.
It's a good wrinkle, though.
Yeah,
it's a good wrinkle on the argument.
I wouldn't forfeit that sustained success.
Yeah, the difference to me was, you know, Andy is very adamant, and as you know, I'm sort of wishy-washy on this particular one, but Andy's very adamant that if you lose Brady, you're not having any success. And see, the difference here is I'm definitively not having that success. Mark
right.
is telling me
right.
that success didn't happen.
Right. See,
I'm not willing to forfeit that.
Right. In the great debate, you're forfeiting perhaps success in the future, but you've already had success. In this one, I'm forfeiting the success
I
already
have. You have that undefeated season,
right?
And you're not forfeiting success thereafter in the great debate. Andy thinks you're forfeiting success thereafter. He thinks there's no other quarterback that can have success. And that's where the difference lies. I see his point, but I don't think I take it as strongly as he does, nor do I take your point as strongly that without Brady, who cares, I went undefeated. I don't look at it that way either. So it's but this Mark's little wrinkle here, that's a good little wrinkle
it's
to add,
one.
Add
but,
to the debate.
But you were pretty quick to say that, too. I had to stop and think for a second, but There's no doubt that I would not forfeit the success up to 07 in order to have a perfect season in 07.
No, I just think that there's – I would rather – you know, it sounds strange. There's a lot of things with these – a lot of different ways of looking at them, I think, with successful teams. But I would rather be good all the time, the way the Patriots are, and win a few than be dominant and, you know, one singular season and then not be in the picture otherwise. I don't really think that that's something I would rather do. You know, it's like you know, some teams, you know, I don't know. I can't think of a San Francisco was 5-0 in Super Bowls all time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would you rather be 5-0 or say, I don't know, 5-2?
I'd rather be 5-2.
I'd rather be 5-2 as well.
Yeah.
I was surprised that you said that. You know, because I think that we're probably in the minority on that. Like, the Patriots, you know, even though they lost the last two, those add to your impressive accomplishments to me. You know, I mean, it's great to win them all. Obviously, that's the goal, is to win them all. But you know you can't.
But on the other side, I'd rather be like 2-0 than 0-5.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
0-5 is different.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No,
yep.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So, but it's interesting, you know, in when you think about it, even without the 19-0 season in what would have been the fourth Super Bowl, you know, we almost forget that the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. That in and of itself is amazing. Of course, 2 in a row, but 3 out of 4 years, that's amazing. So, you know, and then you couple on that the fact that, you know,
that's only been done one other time.
Right. And then since then, they've gone twice again. I know they lost it, but it's the sustained success that, yes, there are a few teams that have sustained success. Pittsburgh and the Colts with Manning, and Green Bay. But it hasn't been, you know, to the level of the Patriots. And not a lot of teams can do it. It's really hard in the NFL. So, I mean, you know, whichever side of the debate you come down on, it's still great to be a Patriots fan, is the bottom line.
Well played.
So let's and the other thing that I mentioned, Paul, before you got here, we've had a lot of reaction to this whole American football in Europe talk, and a lot of people weighed in there with some really interesting insight, because most of the people who weighed in are from Europe, and whether it was our uneducated talk about soccer and how that compares to football, or just about football, you know, they have a different viewpoint. One of them, Dirk, writes in, he's from Belgium. He says, just listened to the podcast and heard the conversation about Europe and their American football leagues. Even though soccer is still the main sport here, there are leagues forming and that have been going for the last 20 years. For example, we have 18 teams in Belgium and even have our own Belgian Bowl as a national championship each year. Apart from the logistics, I do see a real world championship happening over the next 50 years as our local talent is starting to play younger and younger, ages 12 and up, mainly with some coaching from visiting America. So there's someone from Belgium thinking that, you know, it could happen. Dan from New Zealand writes in. He says, my question is just around the NFL team being international and being viable and getting the interest going. What is against a stepping stone being an invitational game between a team from CFL, Canadian Football League, against a combination team of NFL players and college players, or a three-way series between a CFL All-Star team, NFL All-Star team selected from players at the Pro Bowl, or mixture of the Super Bowl team finalist players and a college All-Star team, and the games could be spread around Europe and or the States and Canada? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. I don't think there would ever be I don't think the pros would ever play the college players in a real game.
Yeah, I know they did that many years ago. They used to have a college All-Star game against the Super Bowl champs, I think, or maybe a Pro Bowl team.
Yeah.
Of some sort, back before I was around anyway. Yeah, I agree with you, Fred. The CFL thing is, you know, I know that it's the same premise, but the CFL game has different rules than the NFL. First of all, there's only three downs instead of four. The field is different dimensions. There's a lot of differences, even though you're still playing the same premise of a sport. There's a lot of rule differences there. I don't see it. I don't see those kinds of things happening. I know that some people do, and you know, the people, the Europeans that write into the show, obviously are more aware of the younger people that are being introduced to the game over there and elsewhere. I just don't see it happening. I don't see that kind of commitment that it takes to, you know, to play football. I just think that soccer is so, so much more popular worldwide than it is here.
David, New Orleans says, this isn't the old days when we watched football on Sundays on three channels after church programming and cartoons, not just your home team and not the days of the NFL-AFL merger. Back when computer tennis was two movable dashes and a slow-moving blip, those days are the days of dinosaurs. There is definitely a time warp with your last caller, this is from last week, saying it will take generations for European football to catch on. Give it 10 years, 20 tops. With all the media channels, instant gratification, expanded weekly schedules, it is on. Look for explosive growth as soon as a European star is found and the Brits hand us a defeat. They will provide their own Joe Namath and history will repeat itself. Fish and chips for all. So, I mean, he makes a good point. The access to games on TV or computers or whatever is a lot different than it was 20 years ago. So that could accelerate the, interest in the game from Europe. And, you know, if there is some European star that comes over like Yao Ming did for the NBA and help, you know, interest in China, yes, that will accelerate the interest. But you still get back to Europe being a breeding ground for talent. And I know, you know, people can say, oh, well, when soccer came in, you know, the kids, you know, kids started playing in droves. Yeah, but playing soccer and starting a soccer league is a lot different than starting a football league. It's just cheaper. Mm-hmm. Easier to do. It's just way, way different. So, you know, I'm not saying it can't be done, but man, it's going to take a huge investment order to have it happen.
I agree. It's not going to happen in 20 years, that's for sure. If it happens ever.
Right. They've been trying to do it for 30 years.
And I think that a lot of the reasons are the same. And Eric's not here to yell at me today like he was last week about this. When I make the argument, all of these same things, you just said the same stuff about soccer and you said how it's different, you know, just with the sports. And I agree with you on that. But Fred, I don't think that we've done it in soccer. You know, people use, what the Americans have done in soccer. The Americans pale in comparison to the rest of the world in soccer. I'm sorry. Right. We may win a match here or there and we may, make a World Cup run every once in a while, but more often than not, we don't make it out of pool play in the World Cup. Yeah, we make some runs and stuff. We're getting better. I understand that, and I don't mean to offend our soccer aficionados because I know we have a lot of them, and just because I don't like the sport doesn't mean that no one should. And I'm not trying to say that. But I don't think we play it as well as it's played abroad.
If guys like Bo Jackson...
And we've been at this, Fred, for a lot of years.
If guys like Bo Jackson grew up playing soccer and that was his way out,
and that's my reason for why American football will never catch on in Europe, because they're always going to be first and foremost in love with soccer.
Right. If that's the best athletes choose the other major sports in America before soccer and they continue to do that, it'll be hard for soccer in America to ever reach the level of Europe, and the same way for Europe. If the best athletes there continue to choose soccer over American football, you know, they will never be able to compete. So that's a big part of it. You know,
and you can get good, you can advance, you can make progress. I just don't think that we'll ever play soccer to a consistent level as they play in Europe and South America, even we can't compete. I don't think we'll ever compete on a consistent basis with the best teams in the world. We may have Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan and individual players that are capable of going over to the who's the Mr. Zero goalie that, you know, that I can't remember his name, Howard. What's his first name?
Howard.
Tim. I didn't want to call him John again. I knew John was wrong because that's our listener. But I don't think we're going to have teams that are capable of winning. And just like your example, you know, LeBron James, Bo Jackson, Kobe Bryant, you know, forget about the thousands of guys that have played in the NFL, like Bo Jackson, that you said, Deion Sanders. You think if those guys wanted to play soccer, that we could, yeah, then we could get good.
Right.
But those are our best athletes. And I think the best athletes in Italy play soccer.
Right.
Not, they don't want to play American football.
Steve writes in, been listening to the whole discussion around a European league competing against the NFL. Eric, this is never going to happen. Speaking as an Englishman living down in New Zealand who played football, not soccer, for 10 years in the UK and supported the WFL, EFL until its demise. Football has been played in the UK since the early 80s. In its heyday, there were over 120 teams spread throughout across England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. Today, that number is down to 20-odd teams competing on an amateur basis. There is also a good youth league based around the adult teams. The feeder system that you have in the States from high school upwards does not happen in the UK and never will. Education spending cuts have already seen most schools cut back on the amount of sporting activities that take place. You guys even have the feeder system for soccer that is far more advanced than anything in the UK. In the UK, colleges do not have the same emphasis on sport that you have in the US. There is no national soccer tournament for colleges the same way you have for football. Most talented soccer kids get signed when playing school or club soccer around the age of 14 or 16. What we do have in the UK is a very good club scene. That this is regions within towns and cities with soccer, God, I hate the word, clubs, catering for the very young, 4 to 5 year old, and the very olds, over 60. Some clubs will run 20 to 30 teams depending on the population pool. This is where most of us not good enough to go on and play professionally will get our soccer fix. For soccer to succeed in Europe in the way that Eric is suggesting, the NFL would have to invest billions of dollars into setting up a club scene within all the major cities and towns throughout Europe. This would allow kids to play football from an early age with quality coaching that would then continue into the late teens and early 20s. The EFL-WFL worked as a gimmick for a small number of teams. In the UK, we had the London Monarchs, who ended up winning the first World Bowl. In the end, the league comprised of several German teams, always been great support for football, and the odd team in Scotland and Spain. There is a huge supporter base for football outside the U.S. Playing regular season games in Europe helps tap into this. Being able to watch games via NFL.com streaming is great news for people like me who love the game of football throughout the world. Soccer is a global sport. Basketball is a global sport. Football has a great following in Europe and other parts of the world, but it is not a global sport. So that's Steve, who, you know, he's from the UK. That's his insight.
Yeah, I mean, there's like I said, there's a lot of different stuff that we don't know about because we're not European. And maybe Eric knows about it because he is European or wishes he was.
And Phil from England says, to settle your arguments about the two most prominent U.S. players in the Premier League, Dempsey finished top 4 in goals scored this year with 17 and is considered to be one of the best players at Fulham has. Whether that makes him upper echelon player in the Premier League is debatable. I would say that he's a good player, but not a top guy. Tim Howard let in 40 goals this year with a save percentage of 70% and conceding a goal every 86 minutes played. I would describe Howard as a top 10 keeper in the Premier League, a good keeper that won't let anyone down, but no quality star like Casillas, Neuer, or Neuer, a Buffon, Sek, Hart, or Reyna. So I have no idea who any of those people are, but I'll take your word for it. All right, so it's 12:25.
You also have no idea how to pronounce any of the names, but you gave it a shot.
Right. Food's here. We're going to take a quick break so we can stuff our faces, and then we'll be right back. I'm telling you, the emails are coming in, and people want to talk about this, so it's an emailer-driven show. We'll get right back to it after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide C-pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. member of FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we're talking... and it's all started a couple weeks ago when Robert Kraft was interviewed... was it the Sky Network, BBC Sky? Or
I believe that's
like that?
Correct.
Sky Sports, and he mentioned that, you know, he would like the Patriots to be playing in London every year as a home as an away team, and that there might be, you know, more than one game in London per year. There might be two, and then Goodell saying that, you know, he could see someday having a team based in London, and you know. What we know from talking to our friends in UK Patriots is that they don't necessarily want a team in London. They'd rather root for the team that they're rooting for now, and they do enjoy seeing a game being played over there, but they don't necessarily require having a team there. But as far as the NFL goes, they need to expand. So we were talking about that.
Do you think LA's like that a little bit?
What's that?
Do you think LA's like that a little bit?
I do. I think. There, I don't think from a fan standpoint, again, this is where, you know, we have the problem with Goodell sometimes. You know, he'll tell us the fans in L.A. are clamoring for a team. They were
well, did you, you know, he had a thing.
I'm not sure they are.
to inject a little bit of, you know, recent news, evidently they sent – did we talk about this the last show, the memo that Goodell sent to all the teams?
I think we mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah, suggesting that no, basically no one is allowed to even explore moving to L.A., without his consent, you know, one of those deals, you know, sounds like they're going to get an expansion team, before they want to let anybody move there. But I wonder if people there even, cause
well,
I was
I read
astounded.
That differently, Paul. I didn't read it like they were, oh, definitely going to get an expansion team. I just want to make, I think Goodell just wants to control
you know, he wants
that
to
situation.
Be in, yeah, he wants to be in charge of
you
it.
Know, he doesn't want teams, you know, contacting this venue operator, whoever the committee is that are building the stadiums, saying, oh, let's make a deal. The deal has to come through the league. You know, that's the deal, because the team, if it's an existing team that moves into L.A., that's going to be a huge advantage for them in terms of, you know, they're going to have all kinds of new streams of revenue, and they'll probably have some amazing deal. So, I mean, if you're Jacksonville or Buffalo or, you know, any of these teams that are on the cusp of moving, that's a big temptation to move out there. And, you know, Goodell needs to control that, or else he's going to have some type of war within the teams to see who gets to be the team that moves to L.A.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right.
An team, they're going to have all kinds of benefits that the other teams are going to have to give them, you know, for being an expansion team. Like draft picks. And,
well, yeah, yeah, that's anytime you have an expansion right. team. I don't know if they're going to expand or not. I just was saying that. I hope they don't. The whole point I was trying to make was that I wonder if people in L.A. really want a team, their own team.
Right. I don't think
or
they care
if they
that
prefer
much.
It the way it is now, and they get to watch whatever game they want.
Right.
And I mean, I know that nowadays you can get the Sunday ticket and you have access to all the games anyway that you want, but it's still a little bit different, I think. It's still a little bit different. I think that you can go without. And that was one of the things when we went to London the first time in 2009 that I was really struck by was all the guys that we met, you know, James and Paul and Warren and, you know, all the different guys, Damian, and how many of them said that we love the Patriots, but we don't necessarily want a team over here. We love the NFL. We love the Patriots, and that's the team that we want to root for. So if they put a team over here, that's sort of the team that, quote unquote, we're stuck with. And I wonder if the same kind of philosophy is not at hand in L.A.
Yeah. Andre in Panama City writes in. He says, I was wondering, as Philadelphia has the Philly steak and New York has its street hot dogs, which is the trademark food that you have to eat in Boston? And he has another question, but we'll ask, if a tourist was coming to Boston and you said this is the signature food that while you're in Boston you have to have, what would you say?
I can't really speak from experience because I don't really like it, but I would have to think you'd have to go some kind of seafood.
Clam chowder?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it have to? I mean, this is the best seafood
in the
world.
The only thing about clam chowder is everybody makes it differently, but I would say probably lobster or something.
Well, something. Yeah.
Lobster
I mean,
and a cup of chowder.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that you could get the freshest seafood here.
Unless you're in Rhode Island, then Del's Lemonade. But other than that.
And what then else? Anything else?
He also says
Boston baked beans?
Yeah. But not so much.
I don't like beans.
But I would say, you know, go to Legal Seafood maybe or something like that and get the chowder there.
Well, I would go to a I would head down the Cape or something, like maybe Captain Parker's or something.
Captain
down
Parker's?
The Cape. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I said Pockets, by the way.
Please don't ever.
Because I can't turn that on and off if you want me to.
No. Please don't ever talk about soccer again. Yes, the EPL is a top three league in the world, but that doesn't mean that Tim Howard is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. So, again, that's a shout out to Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. I was the one that was making the point that he wasn't, and I don't know anything about soccer. I admit that wholeheartedly. My favorite email that we've gotten in a long time was the one that said it was amazing how you can get Paul. I don't know, but Paul becomes deaf when you're talking about soccer.
Sure.
That's 100% accurate.
Let's see. Some more emails coming in. William Berry has one of his cryptic emails. He says, and William is Paul's favorite emailer, if you didn't know. First, he says he thinks Brian Lowe is okay. And this is another big thing that's happened over the last couple weeks, this whole B-Low controversy.
We should have invited him down.
Some people love him. Some people hate him. But William thinks he knows why. He says three things are happening. One, listeners hate change. Two, it has become popular to say you hate Brian Lowe, like it was popular to question Eric's lifestyle choice. And three, you guys do not interrupt him until Eric's balls dropped on Brian's last appearance. That's what I thought. We treat B-Low differently. I think if we treated him the same way we treat each other, fans would appreciate him more.
The only thing is he might go home and cry if we treated him the way we treat each other.
Right. Well, you know, but
he might. That's a possibility.
You just have to be able to handle that.
He's a sensitive sort, Freddie.
Hey, if Three Wise could handle it, I think that B-Low
could. She wasn't as sensitive. She could handle it.
That's true. Strippers writes in. He says that Ross Tucker was on Sirius today, and he mentioned teams in the same division only play two different opponents. So 14 games are versus the same opponents.
That's correct.
That is correct. A caller was saying that the 1-15 Dolphins had an easy schedule the following year and went 11-5, giving the illusion of parity in the NFL.
That's incorrect.
But then they were crushed by the Ravens in the playoff game with Chad Pennington as the quarterback. Ross said the Dolphins would only have two different opponents in the other teams in the AFC East.
That's correct.
The caller came back with, well, one or two games can mean the difference in making the playoffs.
Yeah, but they had a ridiculously easy schedule. Dolphins did that year because they played the AFC West, which was very weak that season, and the NFC West, which, you know, before the Niners of resurgence last season, has been very weak. Matter of fact, as recently as 2 years ago, Fred, the NFC West champion went 7-9.
Yeah.
Seattle, 2 years ago. They won the division at 7-9. It's been predominantly the worst division over the last 5 years. 6 years, 7 years, probably even going back even further. So that was a terrible schedule that the AFC East benefited from that year. By the way, Fred, same season was the Matt Castle year.
But I think that the reason why it is tougher than it seems, like even though you're playing all the same teams as the other people in your division except for two, those two teams, yeah, they could make a difference. You're playing the last place team in another division, whereas the Patriots, for example, are playing the first place team. But the other thing you have to take into consideration is that you're also playing the teams within your division twice. So if the Patriots are that much better than you, That's two losses.
They wouldn't have split.
Right.
They wouldn't have split with Miami if the Patriots were that much better than Miami.
You know, so you have to look at the teams within your division, too. And that's also the big settler of who gets into the playoffs. And that's why the league made the decision to have a lot of these division games at the end of the year so that it, you know, with a better chance of having those games mean something.
Look at this season. We play Miami twice in December.
Yeah. That's weird, huh?
Very weird.
So you going to that game on the road? You're going to decide to go?
No, I can't do that to Eric.
No?
A December trip to Miami. Hey, hit the curb, buddy.
Let's see. Vishon writes in.
Leonard?
No. He says, I was recently having a heated summer debate with my friends about which playoff loss, the two being Super Bowl 46 and the 06 AFC Championship game. So let me think about this. Super Bowl 46 is the last one.
That's this last one, right?
And the 06 AFC Championship game.
Tough, tough one.
Which tough hurt loss. More? That was the Denver
Manning.
Game.
No. Peyton Manning. 21-3.
Oh, of course, the AFC Championship game, right. Which hurt more? And I wanted to get your take on it. Personally, for me, the worst loss I experienced beside Super Bowl 42 was the AFC title game because we had taken control in the RCA Dome, leading 21-3. Where in this past Super Bowl, we were in a 9-0 deficit in the first quarter, so I was somewhat prepared to lose the game. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I was not prepared at all to lose that AFC title game at halftime, to the point where when it was over, I was so depressed because I hate Indy and Pelion. I felt that the game was the first heartbreak game that I ever experienced as a fan of the Patriots, so maybe that's why it was so hard to swallow. This loss actually prepared me for the Super Bowl 42 loss because it showed me that really anything can happen in a game, like offensive linemen scoring TDs. Anyway, I'm still not over that loss. I know this email is like 5 years late. P.S. I rely on this podcast because it generally makes me feel better after a loss, but I still remember listening to the PFW podcast that Tuesday after the AFC title game. You guys were way too freaking happy for my liking that day because I was devastated. You helped me cope with the two Super Bowls, but not that game. Anyway, thank you for reading my long email. Love the show. Eric, you rock.
Wow. I would agree with the emailer. I think that the 2006 AFC Championship game is a very underrated punch in the nuts game. I mean, that was a devastating loss. And I think for all the reasons that he said, it's not just that you had a lead and lost it in a big game. I mean, that these things happen. But you lost the game, and not only you lost the game, you sort of lost supremacy over your arch rival.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, that was sort of
bragging rights.
But it wasn't bragging rights. We owned them. They couldn't beat us in a big game, and really, after that, it wasn't true anymore. And you know, that once that game was over, you know, Peyton Manning sort of became a different guy against the Patriots. Now, ultimately, they never played. I don't think they played again in the playoffs.
No,
I don't think that
the playoffs.
I don't think those two teams played again in the playoffs since then. So that, you know, kind of fortunate that worked out that way. But and the whole Bill Polian thing is huge. Because he's, I mean, let's face it, he was our punching bag.
I mean,
we hated him.
He literally, after that game in 06, because fans wouldn't know this because it wasn't on TV or anything.
It was disgusting.
He ran through the hallways down in the RCA Dome with his finger in the air going, "The Patriots' time is over. It's the Colts' time."
It was,
and
it was
running
nauseating.
Down screaming that.
It was absolutely nauseating. It was classless, to say the least. And that's why I agree with the emailer. It wasn't just losing a big game; it was losing a big game to that guy. That
he was so
just
obsessed with us,
like
he couldn't just say we won, we won. He had to mention the Patriots. Like, their time is over; it's our time now.
Yeah. And by the way, the next year we went 18-1.
Right. So our time wasn't exactly over.
No.
You know, but that was devastating. I can remember at halftime thinking, "Okay, I got to pack my bags. I got to do this. I got to do that."
Oh, I was with a bunch of guys that were working for smaller papers and whatnot. They were making travel arrangements and stuff, and then they were on the hook for that money, and you know, like small magazines and stuff like that. You know, those are budget breakers.
Yeah.
When you lock in for
flight. As far as long lasting effect, I think what kind of toned down the devastation for me in that game was because it was such a great game.
It was
an instant classic
game.
People
ask me a lot what the best game that I ever went to was, and I have a hard time not putting that at the top of the list, and people look at me like I'm crazy.
I mean, we don't replay that game here because obviously it didn't end, but I imagine that if you live in Indianapolis.
It's on NFL Network all the time.
Yeah, if you live in Indianapolis, anytime that game's on TV, you're stopping and watching because not only did they win the game, they went on to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, for them, it was just unbelievable. And the Super Bowl was anticlimactic.
It was in a lot of ways.
Because, you know, they're playing the Bears, and we even, you know, like, whoever wins this game, they're the Super Bowl champ, and sure enough. Turn on your microphone with Pepe. What'd you say?
That was the one that was, like, in the pouring rain, and it was just the most boring Super Bowl I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, aside from Hester returning the opening kick, it was never really competitive after that. So, yeah, and then the Colts, it was, you know, kind of like Peyton Manning getting that monkey off his back. And, you know, I guess, I mean, like, once they beat the Patriots, I wanted Manning to win. I know a lot of people wanted Chicago to win that Super Bowl around here because they never wanted Manning to win, but I didn't. I thought that he deserved to win a Super Bowl, and he did. And,
no, I wanted
you know, in a lot of ways, listen, he only won one. You know, it doesn't mean that he's immune to, I mean, to me, he still down as a playoff underachiever, although I don't really think it was all
his
fault.
I wanted him to lose for the very fact that I could always say, well, Brady won and you didn't.
Right. I know you did because you're spiteful. Like
that's the way I am because I'm a fan. Pepe, where you been? You just showed up with a sandwich.
Had a couple technical difficulties down in KSB that I had to take care of.
Oh, okay.
Couple things.
Had a couple things. Yeah, had to chat with Chuck, who's over in London. So I had to wait for him to get back to his hotel before I could talk to him.
Yeah, one of our technicians at KSP, whenever there's Olympics, he goes. That's written into his contract that he gets to go to the Olympics because he had done that before he started working here. And will continue to do so as long as NBC is the broadcaster.
And that's he's in for the Olympics already?
Yeah.
So he's, yeah, he goes. He goes five weeks before and sets up all the TV stuff, sets up all the different broadcast places, and stays for the first week, and then he's out of there and back here.
So he's going to be there for over 6 weeks.
I was my question was, can he bring his wife? Because that's a long time. You know,
I don't know.
That's a long time to be away from home.
Yeah, sorry for the delay.
He deserves it.
I'm here now.
Chuck's good people.
Yep. Let's see. Cody writes in, just finished subscribing to the paper. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
How was the 4th? It was good here. Did you get rain up in your end? I didn't get any rain.
I got very little.
In the morning I got, and then that was
there,
it.
There was more an early morning rain, too. Yeah. Even by the time I woke up, it was already gone. Then it was
noon. Yeah.
Then it was fine all day, and probably left New Hampshire around maybe 8:30 or so. And it was just starting to rain when we left, and by the time I was on 95, it was pouring.
Let me tell you something. We made some ribs.
Ribs?
We went to BJ's and bought 3 packets of ribs, which we didn't know that each packet had 2 racks. So we had 6 racks of ribs. First,
I guess my call went unanswered there.
We baked them.
Peppy. 6 packs of ribs? 6 racks?
We did this.
No call from me?
We did this apple cider type of dry rub. Did that, baked them for 3 hours, and then put them on the grill for the glaze. Let me tell you something. Then I had 3 different types of barbecue sauce to choose from. Oh, was that good?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm not sure if you like spicy, Fred, but I was at a family friend's house right down the road here, a mile from Gillette. And the way he cooks his ribs, he takes vinegar, bourbon, and water, along with like cayenne pepper, red pepper flakes, and all that, puts it in a big pot, and he boils the ribs in that beforehand, and then puts them on the grill with the spicy barbecue sauce, and he calls them his hot ribs. We have that with like hot with buffalo wings, and it's
good stuff.
It's fantastic.
Huh?
You don't know from ribs.
No, I don't.
I just wanted to be Fred for a second.
Oh.
Speaking, you know.
Oh, I know from ribs.
Non sequiturs.
I know a good rib. You know, you got to have pork ribs too. Were they pork ribs?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the beef ribs are bigger, but they're not as tasty
totally.
As the pork ribs.
You
totally
get the baby back ribs. That's the best
baby
kind.
Baby back pork ribs.
Totally agree with you. Pork ribs are much better, much tastier.
Eric wouldn't approve because he doesn't like the treatment of the pigs. So,
plus he probably doesn't like to get his little
Eric
fingers.
Would like some
his
some
fingers
escargot.
That's uncouth. His
right.
fingers would get like all messy.
Right. Cody says
they don't eat that like that in Europe, Fred.
No. How about a game? He says.
How about a game?
Who will have more rushing yards, Vereen, Adai, or Ridley?
Ridley.
Ridley.
I think Ridley. More rushing TDs, Vereen, Adai, Ridley, or Hernandez?
Ridley.
I'm going to go with Adai.
Adai? Nah. I think Ridley, too. Better statistical season, Brady, Breeze, or Rodgers? That's a tough one. That's a real tough one.
What are we going by statistically?
I would say yards and touchdowns.
Rating?
Oh, rating? Yeah, I guess.
I mean, what are we going by?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I would eliminate Breeze.
Because of the whole New Orleans thing?
I think Rodgers and Brady it's down to. I'm going to say Brady will have a better year this year.
See, I'm going to say Rodgers only because I think.
Because everything but Patriots.com.
No, because I think that I think the rushing statistics will go up this year. And I think that Brady's going to take more chances this year with Lloyd. So, you know, maybe his overall percentage is a little down. And Rodgers, you know, is just an amazingly high percentage guy. And, you know, I don't see where that offense changes as much as I think the Patriots offense might change a little bit. So
I think they'll all three be great, but. I don't know. If I have to pick, I'll go Brady.
More catches. Hernandez or Welker?
I work for the Patriots. Hernandez or Welker? Welker.
See, Andy thinks Welker. Hernandez because he thinks he's going to go crazy.
Because he's a contrarian.
Right. More touchdowns. Gronk or Lloyd?
Gronk.
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 Yeah. More sacks. Ninko, Beckett, or Jones?
Ninko.
Ninko. Okay. Yeah. And who do you think will lead the team in picks this year?
I want to predict there's going to be a tie.
Really?
About five guys will have two.
Right. Right. Nano says B-Lo is horrible.
I'll stick with Arrington to answer the question.
Nano says B-Lo is horrible because he doesn't have any original opinions. Oh, he did it during the draft. He's the only person in the world that thought the Patriots were going to draft a center in the first round. So that was pretty original.
Yeah,
might be dumb, but it was original.
That was original.
Whatever is the conventional wisdom is what he parrots as his opinion. Since the conventional wisdom is conventional, I do not learn anything when he talks, and he talks a lot. Opinions on Veet are more informative than his banal football commentary. Maybe this works for him on Pages Today, but he is exposed during his PFW appearances. Have him get an interesting point of view or an original opinion before letting him on the air again. Well, people have their different opinions of B-Lo.
Poor B-Lo.
Yeah. Let's see. Fred and Paul says, Jess, thank you for being the two adults in the PFW operation and bringing us a show today.
Well, that's nice.
I don't like
you,
being...
You would think that the two elder statesmen would have had the preference on vacation time, though, wouldn't you?
Well, if I preferred to take today off, I would have.
Yeah. Are you here next week?
No. Yes, I am. The week after, I'm not here.
Okay. Right.
Why?
I'm not here next week.
Well, we got an issue on Monday, right?
Yeah, but we got to do it on Friday.
Right. Why do we have to do it on Friday?
Because I'm not here next week.
Oh, okay. So that does that mean I have to do my edit letter?
Yes, you have to get your edit letter done.
Jeez, I haven't even thought about it.
Well, if you're coming in on, you'll be here next week.
Yeah.
You could do that on Monday.
Yeah,
I
haven't thought about what I'm going to write.
No,
yet.
But you don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to rush it out. You can let it stew over the weekend.
Okay.
And wow somebody on Monday. You'll have the whole day on Monday to get that done.
No one can see it, though, until I'm done.
I know I can't, because I couldn't even see your argument last week.
By the way, on last Friday's Samsonite Make Your Case, I buried Big Head. It was that whole Hall of Fame versus ring thing, and I think over 80% of the people sided with me. And Big Head attributed that to fans being stupid. So that's why. So, but if he had won, then of course.
Now,
we
never go
by the smartest man in the world.
You never go by the poll, because to quote Nano a few seconds ago,
yeah,
the poll is like sort of like sophomoric conventional wisdom.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't go by the poll and it's a poll question, what the hell do you go by?
No, it's a debate.
It's a debate.
We add a poll question to see what the fans think.
And then you ask people who won the debate.
And the fans are always going to go with the popular opinion.
Okay. I didn't know that mine was popular. I thought it was pretty even.
Well, I mean, among football players, it probably is.
That's what I'm saying.
But fans, it's got to be. I was surprised it wasn't closer to 100% for fans.
Anyway. Jess says, I graduated from Middlebury College about 10 years ago and had many friends who played on the football team. This was NESCAC football.
That's Andy Hartland.
Right. So the highlights of their games generally consisted of botched snaps, shank punts, and plays that generally made you think, I could totally hold my own out there. I love it. One summer, they went on a trip to France to scrimmage a bunch of pro/semi-pro teams, and they killed all of them. Apparently, though quite large, the Frenchies had no idea how to play and chain-smoked cigarettes on the sideline. Seriously, granted it was a decade ago, but if France's best got spanked by a low-end D3 football squad, they are a long way away from developing NFL-caliber players. I love that description of NESCAC. Shank
yes.
punts, botch snaps.
You want to see shank punch and blown punts
assignment.
And botch snaps, you should see the MASCAC.
The MASCAC?
That's where... Good old Westfield State plays.
Yeah.
Westfield, what's their mascot?
The Owls.
Owls.
The Owls.
Owls.
That's right.
Fear the Owl.
Fear the Owl. Okay.
Yeah, the MASCAC is probably a level below the NESCAC. Certainly academically.
Oh, yeah.
more than one level.
Robin Marlboro says, hi, guys, and Andy's mom. I think she might be listening. here are some
that
things
that made me giggle.
Here are some things I learned from last show. Soccer talk makes Paul deaf.
Oh, this is the guy I was talking about.
There will never, ever, ever be in NFL Europe ever. And impossible things like Olympic football are possible if Fred says they could do it twice in a dismissive tone. That's all it takes. That's all it takes.
This was my favorite email of the week, Rob.
Know someone brought up this during the last show. Bilo's problem is his style. He is excellent for a one-man TV show where he just keeps the information flowing, and he does it well. He can fill time and keep it interesting with the best of them. But his style is the exact opposite of what is needed in a discussion panel like PFW in Progress. It's like using a hammer as a screwdriver. Not that I'm calling Brian a tool. That would be our resident European, Eric.
That one just ran the gamut of good humor.
Eric is really
taking it on the chin, so to speak.
Well, he's now become like this European type guy.
Well, he clearly...
Paul said he's European. Everybody assumes he's now European.
He clearly has disdain for all things American, except for the service. I think he truly appreciates the service that the armed forces provide.
He would really bristle at that.
Oh, he would get so mad.
Yeah. But those are his words, his actions. He has European sensibilities.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't think anything that we do is classy.
Right.
And when I say we, I don't mean PFW and Progress.
The ugly American.
Because we're not classy.
The ugly American.
I'm talking about the greater you of
the fact that I have no interest in learning how to speak French, even though maybe someday I might go to France, he doesn't understand that.
Right.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because he thinks they're better.
Yeah.
So my suggestion would be, my advice would be to go join them.
Right.
If they're better and that's where you'd be happier, why are you bringing yourself to lowly Foxborough every day?
Sure. I took French in high school, and I still don't speak French.
Right.
There's just no need. There's no need.
Todd from Rochester wants to know who we think will be the Patriots' first loss of the 2012 season. Paul thinks the Titans.
I see what you did there. Yeah. I don't know the schedule, so.
Well, I know Titans are the first game.
How early do we play a division game?
Division game? I don't know. I know we play the Titans, then the Cardinals in week two. So, at least until week three, you're not going to lose to the Cardinals.
I mean, the Titans might be a challenging game. I would expect the Patriots to win that game, but Baltimore
is week three at
Baltimore. I'll go with that.
Buffalo week four is the first division game.
See, I don't generally do the win. I love to play the game. You know, win, loss, win. You know. But I think I normally when I do my schedule, my record, when Fred just says 15-1 every year, I always look at it as I'll take the quote unquote tough games, San Francisco, Houston, Baltimore, and I say, well, two of them are at home, so I'm going to say the Patriots probably find a way to win two out of those three, so there's a loss, and then I always predict a loss in the division because. As great as the Patriots have been over the last 10-plus years, they've only gone undefeated in the division once, and that was the year that they went undefeated.
Right.
So I always think they'll find a way to lose to somebody in the division. And then I figure out all my little things like that, and I say, okay, 12-4, or 11-5, or 13-3, whatever the case may be. So for the argument here, I'll just say Baltimore, Baltimore, week three.
I
don't think that's an unwinnable game. So let's not turn this into, Paul said they're going to lose. And then, you know, week three comes along and Baltimore is 0-2 and the Patriots are 2-0. And I say, the Patriots will win this game. I don't want to hear people, you said back in July that they would lose that game.
Right.
I think that'll be a tough game at Baltimore.
Scott writes
in. What do you think?
Well, the way I do it is I don't go down and say, you know, win-loss either. But I just look at it. From a 50,000-foot view, I say, okay, I think the Patriots are, if not the best, one of the better teams in the AFC.
I think we all agree.
And given that, you know, they're not going to go undefeated. They're probably not going to lose just one game. You know, how many games do I think they're going to lose? I don't really look at the schedule and say, I think they're going to lose to this team. So, like this year, I think I might have said 13-3. Early prediction this year.
I don't know who
those three people will be that they'll lose to. You know, like the year that they lost to the Browns. You know, if you did the preseason.
See, I always add in a game that you don't expect them to lose.
Right.
But and that's how I do
my
it.
My game they don't expect
But I can't
to
look
Seattle.
At a schedule. I couldn't look at the schedule then, or if, let's say, the Browns were on the schedule this year look at that and say, oh, they're going to lose that game. There's no way. But they're, like you said, there's always a game like that.
If you look at, if you look at them, I mean, they went 14-2 in 04. They lost at Miami.
Right.
To a team that had, I think they were 2-11 or 2-12 at the time.
Yep.
They always lose a game like, you know, that you just never expect them to lose.
And most teams do. I mean, you know, we, like,
now the difference with the Patriots is they win all the rest.
Like
they lose one bad one, but they beat everybody
else. A team like Baltimore, you know, when they play the Patriots, it's a dogfight, but they lose some really bad games over the course of the season.
Right. See, when the Patriots lose one bad game, the Ravens lose three bad games.
Right.
You know that, and that's usually the difference as to why Baltimore was always on the road. Now last year, that was the difference as to why the AFC Championship game was here instead of in Baltimore.
Yep.
Because they lost, I think they lost four bad games last year. You know, they lost to some. I think they lost to Tennessee and Seattle.
And they're an emotional team. They get up for games, but then they have those games.
Well, and the thing is that anytime you have a so-so offense nowadays,
quarterback.
Well, offense. Yeah. I think their quarterback is fine, but they have an inconsistent offense, and you would say it's because of the quarterback, and that's fine. You're probably right. You can lose to anybody, whereas the Patriots have that advantage of they have this high-powered offense. So the bad teams that you play generally don't have that offense to keep up with you.
Right.
So that's enough to win.
Yep.
Even when you're emotional. I mean, we've seen the Patriots not bring it. You know, it's easy to say, well, Baltimore was an emotional team. The Patriots are too, and we've seen them come out with a lack of emotion, but they overcome it. And the reason they overcome it is because their offense is generally too good for the other team. And I think when you have those bad games, that's how you find a way to get by, and you win even though you didn't play your best.
Cape Cod Scott has
like Denver last year, for an example.
Right.
When all of a sudden we came up, we couldn't stop. You know, there was 16 points on the board for Denver before you even knew what was going on. But before you knew it, the Patriots offense just pounded Denver into submission, right. Well, and they won going away.
That was the last quarter of the season, really, if you look at it, between Denver and then Miami and Buffalo.
Those are all games that Baltimore would have lost had they come out the same way. Because 21-0 down, they're going to lose.
Right. True.
I know they had a big comeback last year against the Cardinals in one game, but, you know, my larger point, I think, would stand.
By the way, the NFL Network was just asking, who was the best athlete, not football player, but athlete ever to wear the number 4? And, of course, they're doing a big thing with Brett Favre.
Athlete ever?
What about Bobby Orr?
Bobby Orr, hands down.
Yeah.
They shouldn't even put Brett Favre's name in the same sentence.
Right.
I mean, in terms of overall athlete,
there's
no comparison. I mean, Lou Gehrig might get it over Bobby Orr.
Right.
But please, putting Brett Favre even in this sentence. I'm disgusted with this.
it's poor to me. Very poor to
that's
me.
That's just poor to me.
Cape Cod Scott has an interesting email. It's a story. He says, I was listening to the show where Fred was talking about the Avengers movie. I had to share this unbelievable story, but I swear it's true. You can probably find it in the public records if you don't believe me. I'm glad that Andy will be there today. Actually, he's not, because he'll get a big kick out of this one for sure. He's probably listening. He's got nothing better to do. My wife and I both had the day off on Wednesday of the Avengers opening week, so we decided to go to a matinee showing. I won't mention the theater, but it was on the Cape. I think there's only one. No, I'm only kidding. With about a half hour left in the movie, and right in the last act of the climax, shut up, Andy, of the story, this 20-something kid, so this kid's 20 years old, keep in mind, about two rows and a little to the left in front of us, stood up and facing the screen just started peeing like he was standing all by himself in the middle of a field. And there were people sitting right in front of him. I saw him stand up, and it was a dark scene on the screen. So at first I couldn't see what he was doing, and I thought to myself, why is this kid standing up? Then a light scene came on, and I could see what he was doing. What the... You know what? Chaos, of course, ensued. At first, people moved away and tried to watch the end of the movie, but quickly I realized that was impossible, so we went out and got our money and money back and left. As we were leaving, three police cars pulled up. We got out of there before they dragged the kid out. Didn't want to see that. A lady in the lobby had her coat off and pointed to the collar and said to the manager, "See that? It's piss." So that's my Avengers story. The following week, it opened at the Wellfleet Drive-In, where we went to see the entire movie, enjoyed it a lot, and no one pissed on anyone that we know of. So that would kind of spoil a movie for me, I think. if someone just did.
Hard to get happy after that one.
Yeah. I can see some little kid when the parents not watching stand up on their seat and just start taking a leak. This kid's 20 years old or so.
I could see it at the drive-in. I couldn't see it in an actual theater. Like at the drive-in, you'll you get plenty of kids that show up and are drinking and they go.
My guess is drugs or alcohol had something to do with that. I'm not sure, but I'm just guessing.
Either that or the movie was that.
He probably
good.
Woke up. He might have been sleepwalking. You know, people fall asleep in the theater and they wake up and they don't know where they are and they, you know, I used to have a friend that did that. He would sleepwalk and he would just take a piss wherever he was. I used to live in the Caribbean. He came down to visit a couple friends and in the middle of the night he got up and peed in the closet. So I can see that happening. Let's see.
Who do you have? You have some strange people in your life.
Oh, for sure. You know.
I've heard of people doing that, though, too, Freddie. I'll back you up.
Heard about it or you
no,
do that?
No, my cousin.
Your cousin
when
does
When he was
it.
Little, used to do it.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to sleep anywhere near him when we'd do
right.
sleepovers.
Yeah, it's. I guess it is. It's literally sleepwalking, and they just, you know. So I guess, you know, people like that, they should wear diapers when they go to bed. Let's see. Nathan wants to know, can you help me understand Bill's defensive scheme? Is 3-4 defense exclusively zone, and is 4-3 exclusively man-to-man? No, it isn't. There's elements in both. We played man-to-man last year. Our corners, especially McCourty, couldn't cover, and we got burned. When we played zone last year, we gave the opponent receivers too much space, and opposing offenses would drive down the field easily against us. Was the problem the defensive scheme, bad defensive players, or both that caused us to be so bad at defense? What roles do you suspect the new additions will make on the defense? Well, it is whether it's zone or man-to-man, it comes down to the players. You can have great zone teams, you can have great man-to-man teams, you got to have the players.
I totally agree, Fred. And I am very optimistic with the additions, both through the draft and free agency, that there is additional talent that Belichick will be able to fall back on. We don't know how it's going to all shake out yet. We've talked about this a million times during the offseason. That's what training camp is going to give us. That's what I'm most looking forward to seeing in training camp is how, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, Jake Beckett, Tavon Wilson, Alphonso Denard, Jonathan Finene, Steve Gregory, Trevor Scott, how these guys are all going to factor in, which guys are going to emerge, which guys are going to, just sort of fall by the wayside. But in terms of scheme, I would say that, last year, if we're going to be honest with each other here, when didn't the other team really drive up and down the field on us? It was a lot fewer instances of that than the other way around.
Mary Beth in Syracuse writes in, wants to know, what would be a good day to take a toddler to training camp? My granddaughter loves Tom Brady, so I promised to drive from New York to take her to see Tom Brady. Which day? Would week one or two be better? Any input would be appreciated. Well, if you simply want to just see him, any day of that first 2 weeks would work. If
that's open.
If you're promising to get like an autograph or shake a hand, please don't.
Yeah.
It might happen, but if you're setting up a kid for that, chances are the kid's going to be disappointed. Yeah. But he's out there every day. In the first 2 weeks, starting July 26th, are the best days to be there because you pretty much know they're going to have a practice, and it's going to start at 1:30 every day.
The first 4 days that we know about, 26th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, my suggestion would be to do the 27th, the second day of camp. That's a Friday. And the reasons for that are a couple. Number one, the weekends tend to be more crowded. Would you agree, Freddie?
Yeah.
Saturday, and there'd be a lot more people.
Yep.
There will be a day, at least one day, sometimes more than one, where Tom signs an unbelievable amount of autographs. He'll go around the perimeter of the fields, and he'll sign virtually for anybody who puts something in front of him. There's no way of knowing which day that's going to be. So to try to pinpoint that is impossible. But if it were me and I was making a trip from somewhere, I would come on that Friday because I think the first day is kind of chaotic. Everybody gets there. The second day, it's still during the week. might be a little bit of a, you know, smaller crowd. I think the weekends tend to be a little bit crazier in terms of wanting to get something like that for your is it granddaughter?
Granddaughter, yeah.
Definitely get here early, though. There's a line like a mile long to get just down here to watch practice an hour beforehand. I'd say get here at least an hour and a half early.
Yeah. And there'll be stuff to do for the kids. I think the what they call Patriots Experience opens up an hour before, but then it stays open afterwards too. So if the kids get tired, you know, you don't have to be there for the whole practice.
Yeah, it's a long day.
It's a long day, and there's strategy. I mean, if you want to be, whether you're on the hill or in the bleachers, you want to be in the first row so that when the practice is over and there's this rush to the front to get autographs, you're already there. But I think if the kid's little, you know, I think, you know, I always thought that there should be a rule that you have to be under 16 to get an autograph, period.
That's a great idea.
You know, these guys that come with, like, the footballs and the helmets and the grown men, and you know what they're doing with them.
And they're pushing little kids out of the way, too.
Right. Well,
that's a great idea, Fred.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say that, but they're taking up space that a little kid could have. I think there should be a rope, and past that rope, you have to be under 16 years old. And you do it by sight. I mean, you don't have to be checking IDs.
Yeah, we're not carding everybody, but yeah.
But if you're an adult, get the hell back. You know, it's for the kids. And then I think, you know, people would have a better chance. You know, because there's a mad rush to the front, and it's not even like at the end of practice. It's like when the first person thinks that practice is about to end, that person gets up, and then everybody else has to do it, because if you don't want to be stuck. So it's kind of silly. I wish they would just do it for kids.
I think that's a great idea.
Speaking about peeing, stripper says he was out in Vegas during a porn convention and shared a room with my buddy who shoots films in FL, or Florida. I just remember him yelling at me saying, "That's a lamp!" So strippers
he was drunk / sleepy, according to his tweet that he sent us.
Okay. And someone else has a pissing story to share. That's Anthony in Naples. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on? It's not much of a story, but just, you know, being stupid, young, and drunk. For some reason, I had the bright idea that a Abercrombie and Fitch bag could hold my pee in the middle of the night.
Oh. So all of a sudden, we've changed from Patriots Nation to Urination.
when you look back at it, you're like, 21, what was I thinking? Like, how drunk did I have to be to, like, I literally could have walked 10 more feet and went to the bathroom, but for some reason, I decided to piss in the bag. Woke up the next morning, I just see pee all over the floor.
Oh.
But yeah, it was pretty gross.
Not good. I had a friend who got into a motorcycle accident. So for a while, they gave him a catheter so he could use it in his bed. And then for months afterwards, he just got into the habit
kept doing it.
So. Jesus. Anything else, Anthony?
No, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
I cannot wait. About 21 more days is going to be the start of the season. It's just a fantastic time. It's wonderful. And you know what's great about being in Florida too? It's just it just means it's going to be a cooler time, and you know, you don't get all depressed because winter's coming around. You actually get a little excited. Football's coming. It's going to be nice and cool and comfortable. Not like up there. You get a little depressed, I bet you guys, right? Because you know, winter's right around that
exactly.
Corner.
Yeah. No, you're right. I can't stand the winter. I really don't.
See, I love football season. I'm not as big on the preseason as some other people get really excited when training camp starts. And so for me, once September rolls around, even though the weather is coming, I love the football season, the NFL season. And then about halfway through, I sort of say, all right, now I want the playoffs to come.
Right.
Because you identify what the teams are that are good.
Yeah.
You know, after 10, 11, 12 weeks. And, you know, every year someone could, like the Giants last year, I certainly wouldn't have identified them. They were 7-7 after 14. So who knows? I mean, things can change, but you have an idea of, you know, New Orleans, Green Bay, New England, Baltimore. You know who the good teams are. Let's just get it on.
All right, Anthony. Oh, he's gone. He dropped us. So
an Abercrombie and Fitch bag, though, that's interesting. But if I had a buck for every time I said to myself, what was I thinking?
Right. Yeah. I never did that, though, with any bodily functions. Well, there was a few I woke up next to.
Never threw up in, like, a wicker trash can or anything like that?
There was a time I was down the Cape on a bachelor party. And remember Puffer Bellies?
Sure.
There was like a bunch of lattice work on the side.
I was involved in a riot there.
And there was like a T-shirt that was like stapled to the lattice work, and I was like, "That's a pretty cool T-shirt."
Yeah.
You know, as the night went on, I convinced myself I'm gonna take that T-shirt.
Right.
So I literally, there must have been about 50 staples in it, and I think I had 49 of them off, and it was hanging by one, and I had my hand on the shirt, and I'm just pulling them like one or two at a time, then kind of like walking around, then going back over. So I had them all down, and I basically had the shirt. One was like one staple left. I turn around, there's this enormous guy with arms, you know, like Andy Hart.
Right.
You know, was ready to kill me. And I just turned around and I go, "I'm going." And I just walked, and I walked out, and the guy just started laughing.
Yeah. Sean writes in, he says, "I spent my first 25 years in Montreal. I had to take French in school for 11 years. I was in French immersion in grade 7, where every course except English and gym were in French. I passed English and gym. My French still sucks, but I had an amazing day in Paris last Easter. Even though it's a terrific place to visit, does not mean I want to live there. Let Eric revel in his latest vacation. He's American, and there's not much anyone can do to change that."
So. Nah, Fred and I have tried.
I mean, you know, I like foreign countries. I'm not one of these people that go, "Oh, Americans are better."
You know? No.
You know, I'm not one of those types of people, but, you know, Eric.
No, I mean, I like where I live and everything, but I don't think that doesn't make us superior to anybody.
Right.
Eric, I think, clearly has an inferiority complex.
Yeah. It's about sophistication.
Yeah.
He doesn't like unsophisticated people, which he thinks we all are.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, let's see. Dan says, "The worst loss of the Belichick Patriots was absolutely the 06 AFC Championship game. Never mind the fact that the game should have been over at the half, but that game highlighted everything the team did wrong in personnel. That was a team that overachieved offensively. Also consider the previous game in San Diego, winning in basically dramatic fashion against a team with much more firepower on paper. Finally, I don't believe there is one fan who thought there was any chance the Patriots would lose to the Bears. If Brady wins with those receivers, he easily goes down as the greatest ever. It's safe to say they left a ring on the table that year, and yeah, it was the Colts." Yep, so it was a tough loss.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the sentimentality all around.
But, you know, again, the nature of the game was such a great game, and I think going 18-0 the next year kind of, you forgot about 06.
Yeah, and I would also say that, you know, and we rightly look at it through our prism. You know, it's we left the ring on the table. I mean, San Diego, can you imagine what San Diego thinks of that team?
Right.
You know, San Diego, don't forget, owned Indianapolis.
Yep.
They owned them. You know, so they probably are going to, they would have hosted Indianapolis and probably would have beaten them. And that's a ring for them because they had no business losing to us in that game the week before.
Yeah.
None.
Troy Brown, offensive, defensive
but
play.
But it shouldn't even have came to that.
Yeah,
I mean, it was 21-13 at the time of that, midway through the fourth quarter. And I just felt like the whole time we were just kind of hanging.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they throw a pick and San Diego gets the ball back. And you got to figure they're going to run the clock out the way they were playing at the time. They'd had all the momentum. But even then, it should have never been that close if you're San Diego. And that was one of the Marty games. That was a Schottenheimer special and one of those games that people say that he's not a great coach because he found a way to lose those games in the playoffs all the time.
Dan in London says, "Let me start off by saying I love your show. I always get it via the podcast, and even though I'm a new listener, I haven't missed a single one since mid-February. On to my question. Do you think the Patriots have done enough in the offseason to have a competitive pass rush this coming season? Also, which players do you see as making the biggest impact, and do we have enough big sack guys on defense? I know you guys love big sacks."
Andy's not here, so that one was lost, unfortunately. But
do you think
I think the pass rush is better?
Did they have a competitive pass rush last year?
At times. I thought they were inconsistent. And I'm not going by the totals themselves. The total was okay. I didn't think they generated a ton of pressure consistently. I thought when they got pressure, they generally got there. I think that they have a chance. I think they have a chance to be better. I think they have a chance to be better defensively all around. I think they have a chance to have a better rush. better coverage.
Yep.
And obviously the linebackers,
yep,
you know, are okay to start with. The inside linebackers are okay anyway. So I think they have a chance to be better.
Brendan is from Princeton, Mass. He says, I was on vacation last week and was catching up on the show when I heard most of the talk about the Hall versus the Super Bowl. The first fair comparison of players I thought was, would you rather be Corey Dillon or Barry Sanders? Thanks for keeping me informed and entertained in the offseason and season. Would you rather be Corey Dillon or Barry Sanders?
Barry Sanders.
Because he's in the Hall of Fame?
Well, because he's better by light years.
Okay.
But you would rather be Corey Dillon.
No, I'd probably go with...
And for the purposes of this argument, I think we're taking away personalities.
Right.
We're talking about their careers.
Right. The guy that...
Because anybody would rather be Corey Dillon, in real life.
Dillon had a just below Hall of Fame career, you
he might
say?
Be a Hall of Famer when yeah. all is said and done.
But let's just say he's
a borderline Hall of Famer. The emailer's yeah. comparison's a good one.
But let's say he doesn't get in, but he won a Super Bowl. Whereas Barry Sanders never even sniffed a Super Bowl, but one of the greatest running backs of all time.
Yeah.
That right there, that last line he said, is probably why I would go with Barry Sanders. To be considered one of the best of all time and to have everyone say, well, would have been the best had he kept playing.
Right.
That's, I mean...
Yeah, and I'm also taking that kind of stuff out of it, too. You know, the fact that he retired. But he even while retiring, I agree with Matt. I think to be considered one of the best, one of the greatest of all time, I don't think you can substitute that with anything. But you fall on the other side.
No, I think in this case, I'd rather be Barry Sanders.
I just don't understand you.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't get you.
Yeah.
I wish I could get you.
Let's see.
I really don't. You I mean you spent all day on the show making fun of Andy and I for even contemplating the Hall of Famer. Then you write your Samsonite make your case, and you felt so strongly about it that you wouldn't let me even read it before it was posted. Therefore, I still haven't read it yet. And now all of a sudden someone gives you a very plausible one. Corey Dillon or Barry Sanders. And you say Barry Sanders. I don't get you.
Well, Barry Sanders is just so cool.
But that's the whole argument. Would you rather be one of the very, very best
Corey
to
Dillon
have ever
wasn't
played?
Cool.
But we're not talking about the person.
I mean the style.
Take the person out.
Yeah.
We're talking about just the career. Phil Simms or Dan Marino?
Dan Marino.
Well, I don't understand how you can say you'd rather win a Super Bowl then.
Yeah.
Because when you have
there's a lot of individuals, you pick the individual. I'd rather be Phil Simms than Y.A. Tittle. You know, who has championships and is in the Hall of Fame. I'd rather be Phil Simms.
Because why? Because he played in 1980s instead of
he wasn't cool.
the 1960s?
Yeah. Dan Marino,
Fred
Fred
is not
Dan
based on
man.
Football. He's based on who is the coolest person.
Yeah, Dan was like...
I mean, Dan was just like having so much fun out there playing football.
What are you, like 11? Cool guy?
Well, it's sports.
You want to be with the cool group? That's what my son says when he comes home from school.
Yeah.
What'd you do today? Yeah, well, you know, me and the cool guys did. And I'm like, shut up, the cool guys. You're in first grade.
Let's see.
I just don't get you. I'll never understand. How many years have we worked together? 13? I'll never figure you out.
Josh is from Waterloo. He says, hey, men of PFW and the European. Most of the time I would take Robert Kraft's words to heart, but I think he is way off the mark for starting a team in London. First, you guys have said that most people over there only really attend the NFL games because they are a novelty. You put too many regular games over there and that wears off and people will stop going. Also, when saying we are maxed out here in the U.S. Sunday because 180 out of 250 million people watch the Super Bowl is grossly flawed, you can't use the Super Bowl as a gauge for football fans. It's an event as much as a football game. How many times have you heard somebody that you invited to watch the Super Bowl say which team is which or who is their quarterback? Or a host of other questions that make it evident that this is the one and only football game they watch a year. This goes for the league in general. But in the late 90s, NASCAR was on its way to becoming the most watched sport in America. Then the geniuses at the association started messing with the cars and rules, and now you buy tickets to some of their biggest races the day of the race. Can you imagine walking up to the ticket counter on the day of the Super Bowl and saying, give me two tickets for the race, please? The league is thriving right now. Don't mess it up. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the larger premise. I don't know anything about the NASCAR situation, but I agree with the larger premise. I don't see the benefit as much as you guys do of the international integration for the NFL.
Jerry is calling in from California. Is this the governor?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I called in. I've got actually several questions, but not all of them are absolutely totally related to Patriots X's and O's, and I know that's all you guys talk about, but I thought maybe on the off season here I could.
You obviously don't listen very much. Anyway, Jerry, go ahead.
Oh, anyway, I noticed in, I think in Paul's office, there's a picture on the wall of Drew Bledsoe, so I thought that was kind of nice.
There's also a tattoo on his ass, but go ahead.
Drew,
actually, my favorite Patriot even goes back a little before Drew. I'm a real Steve Grogan fan. That might take a little bit of explaining.
Steve's a great guy. You could do a lot worse than have him be your favorite, Jerry. He's a really, really good guy.
Some overseas assignments for about 6 years to California, and I figured I need to be a football fan, and I looked at the Rams. I didn't like their uniform, so I became a Raiders fan. And after about the third Raiders game I watched, I realized these guys should be in jail doing hard time. And I think one of the third game I saw, I think the Patriots actually beat them, or at least played them very, very tough that game. And that's back in the days when the Patriots, when you would be sitting around trying to figure out which game they would win rather than whatever. Yeah. But anyhow, in that particular game, I remember and this is kind of a description of Steve Grogan. He'd be running down the sideline. He'd be 10 yards past the first down marker, but rather than stepping out of bounds, he would dive into a charging linebacker to get that extra half a yard, and yet they were 14 seconds left in the game, and they were 28 points ahead. So
yeah, he was fearless.
Grogan was not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he certainly had a lot of guts, and he played that way.
Yeah, and you know, you talk to guys like John Hanna, and you compare Grogan to a guy like Tony Eason, and Hanna would say, you know, I'd put my life on the line for Grogan, yeah. But Eason, he could care less because they didn't feel that Eason, you know, gave it his all like Grogan did.
Well, I hadn't heard that before. I'm certainly glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And like I said, and later, it took me a little while, but I kind of warmed up to Bledsoe, and I really thought Bledsoe was a very, very, very high-character guy. And maybe Paul can chime in on this, but I think it was either Bledsoe or even Brady that told the story that of the first Super Bowl win, when they only had 126 seconds left or a minute 26 seconds or something like that, and all the coaches on the sideline were telling Brady, be careful with the ball, be careful with the ball.
Yeah.
The last person that talked to him was Bledsoe, and Bledsoe said, kid, go out there and sling that effing ball.
Right. He did.
Yeah, he did. And that's, you know, it's one of those great stories the way it ended up. But in a large way, it sort of encapsulated Drew, because instead of doing basically, you know, what he was told, that's generally how he played too. And fortunately for the Patriots, Brady did not make any mistakes in that last drive, and Drew sometimes was guilty of making the mistake. But, yeah, you called him a high-character guy. I think Fred and I would certainly agree with Bledsoe.
And the last little item here, you guys work for Patriots.com, and when somebody tells you or you hear Patriots.com, you know everything about the organization and how everything fits together and all that type stuff. And, you know, a lot of people listening to the show like me, this, that, and the other, we really don't quite understand what all is there. You know, we see and listen to Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots Today, the All Access, and all the some of the radio shows or whatever, the commentators. Those are all part of Patriots.com, right?
Well, it's all, yeah, I mean, it's all us. You know, it's, I think you listen to every and watch everything and read everything. I think other people, you know, consume their Patriots content different ways. So we do, you know, whoever you are, we try to give something for everyone. But it's all basically us. There's no other people around that do anything as far as the content that the fans read. It's all us.
But all of those shows that obviously make up Patriots.com, there has to be some sort of hierarchy in there. And this is for Andy. Too bad he's not there today. But let's say that Andy works for Patriots Football Weekly and he becomes the absolute best that there is in the Patriots Football Weekly world. He transfer over to Patriots Today. Does that mean he's just barely qualified to, you know, carry Brian Lowe's jockstrap?
Brian went to school for broadcast. You know, Paul and Andy, myself, you know, whether it's publishing or journalism, that's where we come from. But
I'm not the brightest guy
in the world. Tell you just, you know, one of the reasons why the Patriots can't have three writers – writing this stuff is because we have the newspaper. The newspaper is the one thing that up to, you know, the last few years made money. And because we had the newspaper, we could have writers for Patriots.com. A lot of other teams, their website is run out of their PR department, you know, so they're not coming up with the content. Now, that's changing lately because now websites are actually making money and teams are saying, oh, okay, we can hire a writer now and all that stuff. But, you know, up until, you know, recently, the newspaper was the thing that made the money and that allowed us to have, you know, writers for the other things.
And Jerry, just to let you know, the Patriots Today and the other stuff that you see on Patriots.com, that is all part of the same umbrella. We're all under the same umbrella. But Brian Lowe, he does more of his focus on Patriots Today, whereas Andy and I, our focus is on the newspaper, you know, Patriots Football Weekly. But we both contribute regularly on Patriots Today. I do something every week during the season with Brian Lowe after games. And I also do a feature that we call 3 Points with Perillo that, you know, sort of feature previews each game. Andy has been, you know, constant presence with the draft stuff during the pre-draft process. He and I have done that for years. So, and we asked Brian to do, he writes a fantasy football column for us that we put in Patriots Football Weekly. So we all work for the same people. And, you know, Fred's in charge of our side, a guy named Matt Smith, who was on this show every once in a while that we call No Socks. He sort of oversees the whole Kraft Sports Productions angle of it with the television and the video that you see online. But we're all the same, and we certainly, you know, contribute to each other's platforms in different ways.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sure there's some other people out there that kind of, you know, are glad to hear, or at least are welcome to hear, to figure out how all those pieces fit together. And also, you show up on All Access for just about all of their
And that is something that we produce here. Also, Matt Smith is the producer, executive producer of that show as well. And he includes me on that show as well, which is a lot of fun to do.
And Mike Reese, he's not part of Patriots Today. He's part of a columnist, right?
Well, he works for ESPNBoston.com, but he started working for Patriots Football Weekly and then went over to the Globe and now works for ESPN Boston. But the Patriots actually have a little bit of relationship with ESPN Boston in that we sell the ads for ESPN Boston in the New England area. So we have a close relationship with Mike. We always have. And so when they needed, you know, that Patriots expert, you know, who covered the beat, they brought in Mike. But also, even if they didn't, he's one of the best doing it, so why not bring him in, you know?
And one other question, obviously I don't follow the other teams, but do the other teams, most of them, have an organization kind of like Patriots.com, and are they as good and as extensive and all that type stuff?
Well, you know, I don't rank them, but, you know, they're growing. See, we, you know, us, the Cowboys, have always had robust content producing organizations. Other teams are catching up now because, like I said, the websites are starting to make money so they can afford to bring in personnel. I'll give you an example of the Cincinnati Bengals were, I think, the first team to bring in a known beat writer, Jeff Hobson, who wrote for one of the major
Cincinnati Inquirer,
and hired him away and brought him to write for the Bengals website. They were one of the first teams to do that, and got a lot of kudos for doing it because he would only do it, he said, if he could remain objective. And they said, yeah. And it's interesting. I don't want to bore a lot of fans, but the league has done a complete 180 when it comes to telling the teams, you know, that you need to be objective on your own team's website or else fans aren't going to come to it. And you can see that with NFL.com. A lot of, you know, some of our callers have complained that they're getting too TMZ and everything, but the you know, mission with the NFL.com now is that they have to cover it all, good, bad, or otherwise, and they realize that they're competing with other, you know, newspapers, TV shows, radio shows. They have to be down the middle with it, and so more and more teams are doing that now.
Well, I certainly appreciate all the information, and my last final comment is I think we all agree that the Patriot offense is going to be great this year. The big question marks are still on defense, and through, you know, free agency and the draft or whatever, I think Belichick has got more talent to play with, and Belichick with more talent on defense, I think, can be good for us. So.
Sure.
You guys have a great time.
I'm with you, Jerry.
Hope you enjoyed the fourth. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Jerry,
hey, thanks,
in California.
Jerry. It was nice to know, and I think you're right, Fred. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are like, you know, why are they going into all this? But it's nice to know that people notice all the different things that we do.
Sure. But, you know, teams are doing, most teams are doing a lot now, that more than they ever did.
And you and obviously Robert and Jonathan Kraft were at the forefront of that. You recognized a long time before most other teams did. The value of all the different things that we could provide. We were the first to do video and audio online, right?
Right.
Am I wrong on that?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And now, you know, shows like this one aren't, you know, there was a long time that we did this show. Fred and I started this back in 2000, I want to say, Patriots, PFW in Progress. And there was a time we were the only ones doing it.
Yep.
And now I bet you there's some sort of version of the show virtually in every team.
Right. You know, a lot of them do podcasts.
Ours are the best.
Fred doesn't
rank them. I do.
We have the best audience. But yeah, more, you know, teams are doing more and more of this stuff. We get calls all the time from teams. You know, how do you do that? You know, how many people does it take? What's it cost?
Because if they called me, Peppy, and they said, how do you do that? I would say, well, you can't.
Yeah.
You don't have the tools.
Because, you know, owners.
You don't have the men at PFW.
You don't have the talent.
Owners hear about what we're doing. Then they say, you know, we should be doing that too. On the other hand, there are teams that do stuff that we don't.
Yeah.
For example, the Arizona Cardinals did something last off season. You know, it was like a behind the scenes stuff of guys in the off season stuff. You know, a lot of times
specific content. There are teams that do things that we can't do.
Yeah, and it was really amazing stuff. It was almost, you know, NFL film quality type stuff they were doing out of the Cardinals. You know, so everybody has their little niche of what they're allowed to do. You know, I'm sure. At least up until recently at the Jets, they had more access to their head coach perhaps than we had.
My guess is a lot of teams would have more access to the head coach than we do. And listen, you take the good with the bad. Win games. We're relevant every January and February, and the head coach doesn't really like to do a whole lot of stuff for the team website. I'll take that swap.
I'll take the winning. Sean says, awesome job keeping it going during the downtime in the off season. You guys make me laugh with every single show. Shout out to Kevin. Sad to see Lindsay go. Andy is still disgusting with his Hershey kisses in the sink for his wife. Unbelievable. Now on to football. I know we haven't seen them. He's speaking of Chandler Jones, Hightower, and Beckett play, but how would you rate the outside linebacker defensive end depth chart considering just the ability to pass rush from top to bottom of our roster? It's hard to say. It really is. I mean, you got to include Trevor Scott in there and, you know, and factor in the loss of, Anderson from last year.
I think it's going to take a while for Chandler Jones to sort of develop as an outside pass rusher. I don't think he's going to be I don't think he's going to excel immediately. Beckett, I think, is probably a little bit more developed strictly as an outside pass rusher than Jones is right now. I don't think that'll be the case very long, but it is, I think, right now. Trevor Scott's a guy I'm intrigued with. I think he has I think he'll be the best. I think I would put him right now in terms of proven and track record and whatnot. I think he's the best pure outside rusher that the team has. Hightower, I don't really view in that department. I think he's more of an inside linebacker who can play outside and who will probably play outside in some sub-packages, and his versatility and athleticism, I think, are good, but I don't think of him strictly as an edge pass rusher. Jonathan Finene is a guy that I wouldn't sleep on in terms of just pass rushing, not an edge guy. He's a defensive end by trade, but he's not an edge pass rusher. He's going to probably move inside in sub-packages, and I think in talking to some people, they're very optimistic about what he might be able to provide as an interior pass rusher in passing situations.
Do you think he's an upgrade over Gerard Warren?
Oh, Gerard Warren can't rush the pass
right.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of pass rush,
Michelle in Stockholm writes in regards to the Super Bowl champions versus Hall of Fame, I can't think that a kid growing up playing football and then making it all the way to the NFL is ever thinking about, hey, I hope to go into the Hall of Fame versus I hope that I get to be on a team that wins the Super Bowl. It's hard for me to see that anyone playing a team sport would ever think about an individual achievement over winning as a team. I can't help but think about what Tom Brady said after the latest Super Bowl. No one but your teammates can really relate to what you've been through. And if that's true for a loss, I think the same can be said for a win. But that the statement came from LT doesn't surprise me one bit. He's a douche. As a matter of fact, if you look up the word douche, there's a picture of him right next to it. I hope you all have a great summer. And as always, thanks for the show. You guys are the best. Michelle from Stockholm. So. And we have some lyrics from John in Lynn.
Limericks or lyrics?
Limericks, right.
Okay.
He says, a ringer for Vince's white brother. Paul is a marvel like none other. But how can it be so? In one direction he'll go while his belly can go in another.
You all right over there?
Everyone's laughing?
You all right over there? Well, Matt was showing respect for a fellow fat guy and didn't really think it was all that funny.
For a He-Man, Andy looks balmy, holding his nose like a punani. 'Twas a good time for some, till they mourn losses from the carnage called by Paul Tsunami. Wow, Paul, you're getting killed by John and Lynn here.
Yeah, it's tough.
And finally...
You would think the fact that no one ever really laughs at John and Lynn's limericks that he would stop sending them in, but...
Finally, he says...
Evidently not.
The show can get quite often zooish. Paul argues till his face turns bluish. Eric whines, Andy poops, and the boss of the troops got his job while claiming he's Jewish. So, there you go.
That one wasn't funny either.
So John and Lynn not getting good reviews at all.
I think Paul's over being called the fat one now that I'm here a lot.
Yeah.
Paul's kind of skinny compared to me.
Well, you're a big, what are you, 6'3"?
Yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference there.
You're 6'4"?
I'm not even 5'10".
Yeah. Pepe's a big guy.
Pepe's a big dude.
That's why, what's his name, Brett? Better watch out. Brett in Illinois?
I'll sit on him.
Right.
Oh, that would be a blowout. He's an official, for God's sakes.
Yeah? What does that mean?
So how tough can he be? Who's Ed Hockley?
Yeah, Ed Hockley's got big pipes.
Pepe could take him down, too.
See, the thing about Pepe is the rage. That comes out.
Built up rage.
Yeah. Pepe mad.
I turn all red. Right. I'm like the Hulk, only
the Hulk.
I turn red.
Right. Sam writes in, I'm getting married before the Patriots game in London. I'm contemplating having my honeymoon in London so I can come to the game with my new wife.
Wow.
Do you guys know any hotels in the area or any activities in the area since you all have been there before?
No. There's no hotels in London.
Any
You're
advice will help because... to be able to sell it to my fiance, I need to make my case. I think going to London is enough of a case, don't you think? If you can't make the case, with just the fact, hey, honey, we're going to London, then I don't think there's any hope.
This is neither here nor there, Fred, and you may disagree. I'm sure you will. You always do. But if you need so badly to go to a football game in place of your honeymoon, I'm going to guess you probably shouldn't be getting married.
Yeah.
If you can't, even just get married and go on a honeymoon without having to try to make it a football game, unless that's something that your wife was, excited to do. I mean, that's fine. If your wife was, saying, you know what we should do? We should go to a football. That's fine if you both agree. But if you think you need to convince your wife, I'm going to guess you probably shouldn't be getting married.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Do
you disagree? I assume that you will.
Yeah, I mean, if...
Because you'd rather go to a Patriots game than virtually anywhere on the planet, right?
Not really, no.
Unless it was like a Star Wars convention.
But I think you're right. If getting married depends on whether or not she'll go to a Patriots game, you got problems.
Yeah, if you have to convince your wife to go to a honeymoon to a Patriots game...
Yeah.
In other words, you can't just say, you know what, I'd rather go to Hawaii, or I'd rather go, someplace...
Like I said, wait for the Pro Bowl. Yeah. Go to Hawaii for a week and stop in at the Pro Bowl.
But, I mean...
You'll see a couple of Patriots
players. London's a major city, so there's a million things to do, and there's a million hotels.
London is a great honeymoon. Yeah. I had a great time in London, and that's certainly a great... That would be a fantastic honeymoon, but I'm talking about London so I can go to the Patriots game. You can't sacrifice one Patriots game for your wife-to-be. Unless she wanted to go, I think single life is probably better suited for you.
Jerry,
just me.
Jerry, who called in, had a question he forgot to ask. He says, what was the name of the lady that worked on Patriots Today before the most recent one? And where did she go and why did she leave? So before Lindsay.
Before Lindsay was Christina.
Christina Akbar. What was her name?
Akra.
Akra.
Yeah, she left. She did some work in the... I think she worked for Florida, University of Florida, for a while down in the SEC, and now she is working for the Washington Nationals.
Is she?
Yes.
I thought she was working in the SEC. No? Huh?
This is what I get for coming in to make sure he doesn't have to do a show by himself.
No, she worked. She went to Florida University.
You don't even listen to me.
She went to Florida.
I said she was working in the SEC doing some stuff down in Florida.
Oh, in Florida. I thought you said for Florida.
Yeah, in the SEC.
No, for the SEC.
And then I said, now she works for the Washington Nationals. And then you said, I thought she was working for the SEC.
Now, the Washington, their baseball team?
Yes. First place baseball team, unlike your team that's in last place.
So it's my team. You're not a Red Sox fan anymore?
I'm disgusted with them.
What is she doing? Like a sideline reporter for?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She's like Jenny Dell. Okay.
Really?
For the Washington Nationals.
Might have to only watch better the Nationals looking games.
Okay.
They get that MLB Network, right?
Yeah, they got that MLB Network. Yeah. That doesn't mean you get to see the Washington Nationals every game, but that's okay.
Well, I don't know. Well, good for her. It's good
She's done well.
Yeah. Perky little thing.
Oh, for God's sakes. Why do you have to creep everything up?
Because Andy's not here. Somebody's got to do it.
No, actually, that's why we were applauded for actually bringing an adult show to the airways for a change.
Mark says, hey, Jake.
Something I've never been called, by the way, and I'm 44.
Hey, Jake Steele, Hall of Famer, Mr. Draft, and Mrs. Draft, assuming it isn't the summer of Andy, Fred, Paul, Eric, delete as applicable. Andy's not here, and neither is Mrs. Draft. I haven't emailed in a while, but I've been listening. I have a couple of things that I would like your views on. One, going back 2 months now to the John Harbaugh comments about cheating, the thing that stood out to me about the comments were his high hoarseness about how he would never cheat or do anything to bend the rules. I view it along the same lines as players and drugs. I just assume that most players are on some sort of performance-enhancing drugs.
I agree.
Just like I assume each team is bending, breaking some rules to get any edge they think they can. Am I stupid to believe this?
No.
No, you're not.
I don't think that's stupid to believe.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a lot of truth to that.
I'm the one that feels stupid when I get surprised when this stuff comes out and Lance Armstrong is doping up or, you know. I'm the one, I guess, that should be stupid.
To quote the late, great Eddie Guerrero, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah. Two, I have a new debate. We already talked about this. We'll ask Pepe. Pepe, if you could choose one, 2007, you complete the perfect season, and you go 19-0, win the Super Bowl. But you have to forfeit all the success the Patriots had leading up to that. So you can have one or the other. All the success leading up to 07, or you get that 07 perfect season, which would you choose?
All the success before. I'd take three Super Bowls over one.
Yeah, I think everyone's saying that. So it's not – it's an okay question, but I think it's pretty unanimous that everyone would keep the success.
Anyone who would take one perfect season over being arguably the greatest team in a five-year span in the history of the NFL, I just don't think you're in the right place as a football fan.
Right. And P.S., he says, I joined Twitter the other day and followed all of you. One of the first tweets that appeared was Fred talking about the sales of Macs. What have I let myself in for? Every once in a while, I'll do a technical tweet. The reason why I did that particular tweet was because I thought that one of the reasons why Macs are catching up to PCs is because also of the tablet sales. People are saying, you know, The less technical people say, what do I want, a laptop or an iPad? And people are choosing iPads. And I think that's another reason why Mac sales are catching up to PC sales. And being, you know, into the tablets, that's why I tweeted it.
And if you have an iPad, make sure to buy Patriots Football Daily.
That's right. So good segue into the plug for Patriots Football Daily. If you're an iPad owner, you definitely want to download it today. You get all the content from Patriots Football Weekly as well as all the content from Patriots.com, all the video, all the audio. This show, you can listen live. You can background it, do other things on your iPad. And then once the season starts, we'll have a whole game center there that just takes it to the whole new level. So you definitely want to have Patriots Football Daily for the iPad. And I did see an email earlier from someone about, you know, when – we're coming out with an Android version of Patriots Football Daily. We're kind of waiting to see how this whole Android tablet thing shapes up. I know Google just came out with the Nexus Q tablet. The Kindle Fire is still out there. But, you know, once Google figures out what they're doing with the tablet and what the leading tablet is, then we'll figure out what we'll do with Patriots Football Daily and making one for that tablet. But right now there's just too many out there, and it's just crazy. So, but eventually we'll get an Android version of Patriots Football Daily out there.
And what Fred didn't include is that you get every edition of PFW, correct?
That's right. You get all the content from Patriots Football Weekly, as well as you can download past issues to iBooks. So even if you're not like connected to Verizon or AT&T or Wi-Fi, you can read entire issues of Patriots Football Weekly right from your iPad. So,
cool.
It's great. Paul's back.
Most people could do that. I probably wouldn't be able to do that.
No. You could. It says right there, download. It gives you a list of all the issues. You just click the one you want to download. It downloads.
All right.
It's very simple.
Something tells me I would have a hard time with it.
Yeah. What? Your iPad.
Ask your kids. They'll be able to tell you.
Capitan.
Remy writes in from Lyon. He says...
Sierra?
What's that?
Nothing.
He says he wishes that we all had a good 4th of July. I missed your show Tuesday. Well, we didn't have one, so you didn't miss anything. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Gronk and if he can duplicate his 2011 season. Do you think the ankle will slow him down? No, the ankle will be fine. Whether or not he can duplicate those numbers, which were record-setting numbers, probably not, but he's still going to have a great season.
I'd go no with both as well. The ankle won't slow him down. He's a physical freak. He was probably okay after like 2 months, but to think that he'll take the greatest single season a tight end has ever had and duplicate it is a little far-fetched. I'd like to see it, but I think he'll still have one of the best years.
Right.
For tight ends. I have to think that teams are going to specifically say we can't let that happen again. Right. You know, we have to make them do it another way. And I know it's pick your poison because the Patriots have some weapons, but I just have to assume that, you know, situations like that Indianapolis game here last year that we had the big lead and we sort of slept in the fourth quarter and let them come back. But remember Tom Brady was mic'd up in that game in the NFL, the sound effects thing, and he goes, you know, I mean, how hard is it? They're not even covering him. He's wide open. How hard is it? I mean, I can't imagine that teams are going to go and let him do that again. I agree with Pepe. I think he's health-wise, he'll be fine. And talent-wise, he's off the charts, but I can't imagine he's going to catch, he's going to score 18 touchdowns again and make all those plays.
TG and NJ says, I agree with Fred about the autographs at training camp. My son got caught in the fray for a Matt Light autograph once. He escaped out of the pack saying he was getting crushed. I'm not going back in there, he said. Let the kids run up to the fence. Adults can hang back. I really think there should be a rope, and if you're not a kid, you can't get in front of that rope, period. End of story. You know?
It's just tough to do that over by the bleachers. I agree with you 100%. It should just be kids getting the autographs.
But you know what? Then let the people come off the bleachers and still put the rope up or something. You know, I'm just saying that these adults that run up to the front of the line with their helmets and frame pictures, you know, only to, you know, increase their... Wow, look at Rich Eisen as young when he had hair.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
That is funny.
He looks like a totally different person.
He had a
person.
Good head of hair, too. What happened?
No.
Wow.
I had a good head of hair.
Did you really?
At one time.
Okay. Brent from Illinois says, Paul, what gives with the well, ha, he's an official comment? I mean, listen to this list of men at the top of their game who are in great shape. Well, okay, it's only hockey. But, I mean, Mike Carey looks like he's in good shape for being Fred's age of 63. Okay, maybe you have a point. But, Matt, you were still in my crosshairs.
I want to set that up, Brent. Is it Brett or Brent?
Brent.
Brent.
Brent in Illinois.
I'll get my half of the fight picture.
I want that pay-per-view. I want that to happen. Fred, get on it.
Okay.
Put an app together, will you?
MMA rules?
I don't know. Then he might be able to to outgun me there. That's a lot of moving around.
Okay.
We'll go WWE rules.
WWE rules?
So you can use chairs and things like that?
Absolutely.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see. Who's this? Felix is writing in from Munich. He says, I never mailed anything, but I listen to every episode of your show. I break this rule because I feel I can contribute something to your discussion about the level of competition of football in Europe. I'm not sure if the scene is growing or not, but I feel like you can watch some decent football in Germany. That's mainly because in the first division, basically every team has an American quarterback and maybe a receiver or running back. I believe those are usually guys who were college quarterbacks for smaller schools and want to play some more football before they move on with their lives. Many of them stay only for 1 or 2 years. Nevertheless, if any of those teams were to play an NFL team, they would simply die. I send you a link to the homepage that broadcasts the German Football League. It shows you the summary of every game. Judge for yourself, but I think it shows that nobody can expect to import players to the NFL anytime soon. Not that I suggest any of you think that. Keep up the good work. I started watching football 2 years ago when I was looking for something more exciting than soccer. Since then, I'm continuing to learn new stuff from your show. Well, thanks, Felix. And he sends us a link to the German Football League.
Rohan Davies still over there?
I don't know.
Running around, just heaving the ball.
Yeah. The German football.
What a terrible league that was.
What?
NFL Europe.
Well, this is different now.
No,
this
I know that what he's talking about now is different. I'm just talking about when Rohan Davies was over there playing.
Right.
Oh, is that
you
bad?
Just can't, you know, and look, if there wasn't an NFL, it might be okay. But, again, I know I'm taking a dump where I eat, but that's what happens when I watch the MLS. I know that there's something better out there, and I've seen it. So I can't help making the comparison to it when I watch the MLS. I think of, wow, but I know what the top level looks like.
Well, it's like when 40-year-old David Beckham and whatever his first name is, Henri, come over. They're considered has-beens over in Europe. They come over here, and they dominate the MLS.
You know, so... I mean, that's the whole thing. It's you want to see the best. You know, that's why I'm sorry, but I'm never going to watch the WNBA. It's not a gender thing.
Don't be sorry about that, Freddie.
No, but it's not a gender thing. It's like, well, you know, you're biased. It's not. It's a level of play thing.
Yeah. That's what happens is you end up getting victimized in a way that you don't really intend or really even feel.
It's a level of play thing. I know what the NBA looks like. I know what college men's basketball looks like. You know, I just prefer to watch that. Now, women's tennis, that works. Because for some reason, I know they're not hitting the ball as hard as the men.
It's because they're hot.
But no, it's not even that.
I'm just kidding. I was like, trying to be.
There was a match.
I was trying to be Andy,
Paul
as you
the,
said earlier.
Paul likes the noises they make when they hit the ball.
Yeah, I watched a match.
See, they're actually there's an initiative to stop that.
Yeah.
In all seriousness,
I'm all for it.
They're really going to get serious about taking the grunting out of the game.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it
or
hear it.
There was a quarterfinal match, I think, yesterday between two Germans, and it was a great match. It was really, really good. One of the women.
Serena's in the final.
Yeah,
you see that? She won again today.
One of the women had just beaten Sharapova. She ended up losing the next match to a fellow countryman, but it was a great match.
Yeah, I love tennis, not as much as you do. But I have a hard time with it now just because we're so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no Americans that are even involved.
Well, I don't even look at, like, I you know, I was a Bjorn Borg fan, so
well,
I could
I
care
liked,
less.
I liked Borg, too. My brother was a big tennis player in high school like you were, and his favorite was always Borg, and because of that, I liked Borg. But
but
at least it was Borg, and then you had Connors, you had McEnroe,
McEnroe,
you had all these.
Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, you had all these other Americans that could compete with them. There's no American.
Andy Rada can't get past.
The men, you know. The men are pathetic. I mean, at least you have the Williams sisters for American women, and they're fading.
Yeah.
Even though Serena's making a run here, she should have been out 3 rounds ago, though, man. She got lucky in that match.
Yeah.
She beat I forget the girl's name. She was Chinese, but I forget which.
But, you know, tennis is an international sport. I don't understand, unless it's the Davis Cup, why they have to even say what country the people are from. It doesn't matter. They're not representing their country. They're representing themselves.
Okay. Fred Kirsch.
And with that,
no.
as far as representation
Two
goes,
minutes.
that's all we're going to be repping today. It's 2 o'clock here on the East Coast of the United States.
Fred Nerick next week.
Oh, really? What if I left? What if I didn't show up and he had to do the show by himself?
He would love it. He would absolutely.
Oh, he would
it.
Like it. You think
he would love it? He'd be in his element.
Zero Patriots talk.
He would
turn the mics on and leave.
Kevin, he would stand up first of all. He wouldn't sit. He would stand up.
Yeah.
He probably would wear a blazer on Thursday when he realized that he was alone, and he had to. On Tuesday, he would just come in and stand up the whole time.
Yeah.
Then he would wear a blazer with the patches, maybe even a pipe.
We would come in the next week and we'd be like, "Is that pipe smoke I smell?"
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got a sweater.
And he would be totally in his element. He would try to take this to such an intellectual level. And, yeah, the fans would hate it.
All right.
And they would say, where's Fred and Paul?
He'd be like Master.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in on this off-season show. Or if you're downloading it later, thanks for doing that. We will see you next Tuesday. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, got a picture connects. Never asking for someone's help or to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote. His will is beyond reach. And now it all unfolds, the skill of an artist. This is 20%. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.